This week when I was on vacation, I got to spend some time in Wyoming. I got to visit two of my granddaughters, and one of the granddaughters is just about one years old, and that means she can crawl around. She can pull herself to a standing position if there's a piece of furniture to hold on to. It means when she's standing up, she is about 24 inches tall. That's a very little person. And when people look at her, and if they think that she's cute, and I think she's cute, they try to pick her up and try to hold her, she does not like that. She does not like it. Only mom or dad can pick her up and hold her. And if there's some friendly person at church that tries to pick her up and hold her, she will cry and cry and cry until you put her down. If her friendly uncles who were with me this week try to pick her up and hold her, she will cry and cry and cry. But for some reason, she lets me hold her. She lets her grandfather pick her up and hold her. And I don't know why, but even when I was, at one point, they were doing their family devotions, and I was just sitting on the sofa, she crawled over to me. And she pulled herself up, and she stood up at my knee, and she looked up at me. And then she started to do that way of unspoken communication where she indicated she wanted me to pull her up, put her onto the sofa. And so I did, and I picked her up, and then she crawled into my lap. And then she stood up on my lap, and she wanted to put her face in front of my face and to have her big blue eyes look into my face. She wanted to be face to face with me. It was very sweet. It was very gratifying. Now, in contrast, on the plane, on one of our flights, there were two people who refused to be face-to-face with each other. We were seated in one of the flights right behind a couple. And this was, I mean, really, there was probably I don't know why I do this, but like, I would say there was a 35% chance that it was going to turn into a fight, literally. There was a couple. Apparently, the woman had purchased the two seats next to her for herself so that they could be empty. And the guy was somewhere else on the flight, and mid-flight, he decided it was time. He was going to sit down next to this woman and force a conversation. And they were there, they had a terrible quarrel, and the woman would not look at the man. She would not countenance his face. And the man kept pressing her to talk to him, pressing into her space, pressing his face into her to be heard. She would not look at him. And what happened for most of the flight was she spent most of the flight with her head turned away from him, turning her shoulders away from him, throwing her jacket over her head like a blanket, and would not look at him. Estranged people refuse to look at each other face to face. You know what that's like. If there's someone that you're a little bit concerned, and they come into the room, or you come into the room, you're just, it's awkward. You're scared to look at them. At this table, your estrangement with God is over. It's over. The Bible says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of our Lord." At this table, through the work of Jesus Christ, we can now behold him face to face, uncovered. Our faces are uncovered and his face is towards us. In the Garden of Eden, long ago, because of our own sin, God had to put us out from his presence, away from his face. But here, at this table, that has been ended. And we've been welcomed back in. He welcomes you to his face. And even as you come and you take these elements and you hold by faith the bread and the wine, that means, that's saying you are as close, you are in contact with Christ in a way that was completely lost in the garden, but now it's been restored. You are face to face with him. His face turns to you, and now it's in part, but then it will be full. So in this meal, we take bread, and that says to you, Jesus came to you when you had turned from him. And we take the wine, The wine says, Jesus bled for you. He sealed it. He completed the work that had to be done. And so when you take the supper, you say, you're saying something like this. You're saying, Jesus purchased a seat next to me so that we could be close, so that we could be face to face, and so that we could be restored to him. Jesus arranged this new Passover meal, and he says to do this in remembrance of him. And we understand that spiritually, as we do it by faith, we're spiritually being fed and built up. We're contacting Christ. We're taking him all the way in to us. And he wants it to be that way. We need it to be that way. If you've come to know God the Father and been reconciled to him through the work of Jesus Christ, that's what you're holding on to. That's what you know has restored you into the presence of God. Then this supper is for you. Not because you have inherent fitness, not as we heard in the word today, because you measure up, but because you don't measure up, but Jesus measured up and you believe it. And so you are committed to him through his blood. And if you're a member in good standing of a gospel believing church, this supper is for you. If you don't know Jesus in this way, and maybe it sounds inviting, maybe it sounds like it's something you're still working through, then you're very welcome here. The supper is only for people who have made the step, who've made the commitment. But you're welcome to stay with us. We invite you to stay with us and just take it all in. And we'd love to talk to you more about it. Now, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that in this supper, you would take these ordinary things, bread and wine, and you would do something extraordinary, supernatural, and that we would take in Christ. May we meet with him here, and would you build up the work you've begun in us to make us to be a kingdom, the kingdom of marvelous light. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, as I ministering in his name. Now, give this bread to you. And when he did it, he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, Jesus also took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many to remove sins.